Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 30, our hosts, Mitch Glenn and Brad Wiegman, interview Bassmaster Invitational winner and fishing guide, Randy Dierman. Dierman is renowned for being the first angler to use braided fishing line to win a bass tournament and talks about his guide service for bass and crappie on Sam Rayburn Reservoir. Tackle Time features Pico Lure's Scent Ring Pointer Shad. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wiegman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wiegman, and Mitch. Mitch has been taking a little time off so he can go fishing. I feel bad because I have to work and he gets to go fishing, but I tell you what, we have a special guest today, Randy Dierman. And a lot of people know him from bass fishing, but you know what? We're going to talk about crappie fishing with him, too, because he's got a wealth of information, and he's down here on Sam Rayburn guiding, and we're going to find all about that. But, Randy, appreciate you being on the show. You know, I think the one thing that sets everyone remembers you by is winning the 1993, the Invitational, the Bass Invitational on Rayburn. Tell us a little bit about that situation when you came in.
Well, it was just a blessed tournament for me. It opened a lot of doors, a lot of different ways. It kind of kicked off the braided line thing,
right.
And that was the first tournament, as far as I know. Well, I know for a fact that was the first tournament anybody ever used any braided line, and kind of funny, back late that fall before the tournament, I was down on the coast fishing with my good friend Terry Odom from Odom Lures. And, you know, when we wasn't at a tournament or wasn't guiding, we was all fishing somewhere, and he had a camp down there on the coast. And he said, hey, called me and said, hey, you want to go saltwater fishing? I said, yeah. So I got down there, and we was fishing. He said, hey, I got some stuff I want to show you, see what you think. He said, don't laugh at it when I show it to you. I said, right. Okay. Anyway, it was a roll of white string. I said, what do you do with this stuff, Terry? He said, well, I was with some guys from California that were shooting carp and buffalo rough fish with a bow, and they had this string on there.
Right.
And said they'd go all back in the trees and limbs and they'd just drag them out. He said, stuff might work flipping. I said, well, shoot. He said, hook me up with a little bit of it. I said, I'm the one that'll be the guinea pig to go try it out. And
right.
I used it before that tournament. And I mean, when you got a fish on, a lot of these fish were way back in the brush. I mean, just way back in it. And if you hooked up with him, you could break limbs and bring him out. And
wow.
I kind of kept it quiet for a little bit. Told a few people about it, and they just kind of laughed, you know, when I showed it to them, because it was white. It was
right.
Just snow white. But anyway, I used it in that tournament. And like I said, I was blessed, won the tournament. At that time, it was a record 15 fish.
Wow.
That was weighed. It's been broke 3 or 4 times since then,
right.
But that's what records are for. But it was kind of an interesting event. I tell you a little story there. First day I caught them pretty good. Second day I drew Shaw Grisby.
Uh-huh.
And Shaw said, man, you know more about this lake than me, and you're leading. Said, I'm just going to go with you. I'd caught 3 or 4 fish, and Shaw said, "Hey, there's a knot in your line up there, about, you know, 6-8 inches above your jig there. We're flipping jigs and bushes." Right. He said, "You might want to retie that." I said, "Well, she's got a knot where it's tied onto the jig." I said, "It's held up." So we just laughed. And I never retied it the whole tournament for three days. And I said, "They see that knot, they think it's a bug if that thing's after, and they're going to get the jig before he gets the bug."
Oh, that's pretty neat. So, and other people have learned, I mean, from the braid. You've had people, even Bobby from California, come, right?
Sure. It opened a lot of doors. I mean, Bobby was a big, you know, frog fisherman, and right. He caught fish in a lot of ways, but out there where they fished in the Delta and all, it was, you know, a lot of cover, and it helped a lot of people now through the years.
Right.
Still use it myself.
There you go. So, bass fishing has just been, like, changing. It seems like it's changing every day. So, kind of tell us, what's your opinion on, like, the status of bass fishing with Major League Fishing and FLW and bass?
Well, fishing has changed. You know, I mean, it's going to change and continue to change. I don't know what else they can do. I mean, everything from the motors to the boats to the electronics, it's all changed so much. And some of these young guys are so good with these electronics now that, you know, I'm still old school. Like, when I started fishing, we used flashers and a compass to, you know, go somewhere and get out there and triangle, you know, off this point over here in a corner of a house on the other side of the lake and lined our way up like that. Now the maps and everything and the electronics are just unbelievable. I mean, I've got some of the new stuff, and you know, I'm still old school, but it helps me a lot of days.
Yeah. So let's visit, because I know that you have a guide service, and so gosh, what a treat it would be for someone to get in a boat with you and get to hear some of these old stories that you have. And I'm sure you got some good stories of when you were traveling and fishing in those tournaments, you know, and you have that opportunity for those people to come with you. If you had to share a story with them, you actually fished up north some, right? Up there and New York.
Oh, yeah.
And places
we
like that.
Everywhere from California to New York, down to Florida, and everywhere in between.
What do you think about a Southern boy going up to New York? Because that's back in the day where they didn't have internet. So you guys were going up there, and probably if it was your first time fishing blind and you look at Erie, you're thinking that someone needs to pull the plug on about 300 miles of that so you could get it down to a river.
I tell you, probably my favorite lake to fish besides Sam Rayburn here was Lake Champlain.
Wow.
I mean, I went up there, and it's like the bass had never been fished before. You know, most people fish for smallmouth, and I flipped a jig up there in the grass and did real good, you know, up there doing that. And nobody bothered them. So I love catching smallmouth, and there, it was full of them. But at that point, I felt like if you could catch a largemouth, they weighed more. Now, the smallmouths up there outweigh
the large,
most of the terms of one up there on smallmouths now.
Yeah, that's
so
quite a
change. It's changed a lot. I mean, I don't know if it's the bait they have in those lakes now, but the smallmouths up there have just exploded, you know, in size. I mean, before, you know, a 25 to 30-pound stringer of smallmouth was unheard of. Now it's you know, every tournament, there's big strings of them caught.
So when you drove up there from the Lone Star State, from Texas, what were you driving and what were you fishing out of?
Back then, I drove a Suburban, and I guess first time we went up there, I was in a Stratus boat. I fished with Stratus with Earl Bentz and them for a number of years, and then when they went over to Triton, I kind of, he took me over there with him.
Were you fishing an 18-foot boat or 20?
The first time I went up there anywhere was to St. Lawrence River, and I was in an 18-foot boat. And I'll tell you a funny story about that. This friend of mine, Bob Keelan, we pulled two boats together up there, one behind another one, like a choo-choo train.
Wow.
And we got stopped one time. They told us, hey, you can't do this. You know, said, you're going to have to get off the tollway up there. And we got off and tried to get back on up the next deal. And the guy sat there and shook his finger and told us to get back off. But we finally got there. And I told Bob, I said, well, we're going to go run across Lake Ontario here to some of this stuff. He said, all right, I'm going to follow you. You think you know where you're going. When we got to the mouth of the river there, where it dumped out in Lake Ontario, there was waves about 8 or 10 foot tall. He went to holler and said, we can't go. He said, when you see a ship anchor here, he said, it's too rough for us to go with these boats. I said, I'm going, you know.
Yeah. So
I didn't know any better back then, but that was the first trip up there, up north, was to Thousand Islands there.
Yeah, I bet that was interesting. So you're the reason why we can't double trailer boats. You started that. So now every time we try and get on there with the trailer and the boat and something else, they shake our finger and go, oh, that's the Dearman law.
Yeah. When we first started doing it, I had a friend of mine that built trailers there around the house, and he built this deal with a slide out on it. And wow. I thought I was going to, every tournament I went to, I thought I was going to win and get a boat, you know.
Right.
I ended up winning. I actually won 16 and a half boats.
Wow.
When you say a half a boat.
Yeah, I was going to ask
you
that.
How you win a half a boat? I said, well, it was a team tournament.
Oh, so, all right.
So only got a half a boat on that one. But I thought I was going to win one. So I wanted that deal to slide out where I could pull my boat home. Now, right. The last few years they got were, usually you could sell it right there to a dealer. He'd give you,
right,
you know, a dealer's price on it, but he would save freight. And so it was a great deal for all of us.
Right.
So I didn't need the double pull deal.
You did. So now, a couple years later, we find you guiding on Sam Rayburn. And it is kind of your home lake, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, there's a number of us, you know. It's kind of funny. It seems like once you get into crappie fishing, it takes a lot of work to do everything to make it all happen. But if you do all the work of sinking all the trees and do the research, looking for the places to sink your tops and all, it's rewarding. It's rewarding to take families. It's rewarding to take kids. Because, you know, we're just fishing straight down over the trees we sink. And
right.
There's not no casting or nothing. And it's just, it's a great time to carry, you know, young people. Of course, you know, older people like to go too.
We don't
turn none of them down. But there's several of us old bass fishermen. Jack Haynes won the Classic a number of years back, way back there. He's crappie guiding over on Toledo Bend, and Harrow Allen's crappie guiding over at Toledo Bend. There's several of them that I know of that are doing this now, but it keeps us busy.
Right.
Like I said, it's a lot of work to make it all come together good, but, you know, if you're willing to put the work in, you can consistently go out and catch, you know, limits of crappie with 4 to 6 people.
Right. And so tell us about the boats that you're using when you take them out. So if they have a larger party, can you accommodate them?
I usually take anywhere. I do it usually with a minimum of 4 on the pontoon boat. If it's just 2, I can go in a bass boat. But, up to 8 people we carry.
And are you, what are you using then? Are you using jigs or using minnows?
We use both. Early in the year, they seem like you can catch them real, real good on a jig. And a lot of times you catch some bigger fish on the jig. As it gets really hot in the summer, it seems like they're easier to catch on a minnow. So we can always carry some minnows with us too.
Right. And so 2 different boats for that. When you're guiding for bass, what do you use? Just your bass boat?
I just
then?
Use the bass boat then.
Yep. So typically, is there a time of year when you do more guiding for crappie than bass? Is bass like a spring thing, or?
Most of the bass fishing done in the spring. We start crappie fishing late February, March, but usually most of that's out of the bass boat. We're casting jigs, reeling right. them over the grass. And usually don't take but two people when we're doing that. But by mid-April, they're moving out over our deep trees that we sink. Most of the trees we sink are anywhere from 22 to 35 foot of water.
Yeah. Wow. So that's down there. So what is it, and what does it take to be a successful crappie guide?
It takes a lot of work. You sink a lot of trees. You know, when we build a top the first time, we usually won't put but like two trees on it. We
right.
use pretty good size willow trees, put six or seven center blocks on it, and tie a jug in the top of it to stand it back up. They all don't work, you know. Right. So you put you a couple trees there and try it a few times, and if it works, you go back and add to it and build it bigger. The bigger they are, the bigger the tops are, the more fish they hold.
Do you think they're in there for shade or protection? What do you think draws them to that? Because Rayburn's got grass, too, so you got, like, you have multiple like cover that options that they have. So they have these treetops, but they also have this grass.
Right. The grass doesn't grow here now out to about 7, 8, 9 foot. Uh-huh. And as it gets hot, them fish move out, you know, in the deeper water. So I think the trees give them cover, attract bait. A lot of times we'll drop some feed in there for them, some little blocks, cattle blocks. I can't even think of the name of the stuff now.
But you put that in there.
We'll drop that in there, and that attracts bait, minnows,
right,
perch, brim, and different things. A lot of times, every year we'll catch, we don't catch them all, but we'll have 10 or 15 bass that we hook on a minnow, or he'll eat one of the crappie when you bring them up. That'll be 8 to, you know, 11, 12 pounds.
You know, they got some big bass.
We always
here.
Throw those back, but if we do catch them, and a lot of time when they'll get one on, I see what it is. I say, just give him slack, let him swallow it, and they get it down in them, and you can get them up on them little rods if you just take your time.
Right,
it's pretty exciting.
So you
have somebody catch one of them, take their picture, and you know, throw it back.
So you move to the treetops in the summer, but. What do you do in the fall to catch crappie? And in the winter? Then?
They stay out there in the fall until it goes to getting real cold. Usually by mid-December, they're starting to move, you know, into creeks and the river, you know, tops. I don't do a lot of it then, but usually don't start till, you know, in February when I start.
Because they're more grouped up at that time.
Right. Yeah, and you can get on one tree sometime, catch 40 to 60, just, you know, fast as you can drop it down in there.
Wow. And what's the limit per person?
It's 25 a person.
Wow. Is there a length limit?
10 inches.
Wow. That's a lot of good fish.
Yeah, you know, with four people, you can catch 100. With six, you catch 150. With eight, you can keep 200. So.
Wow. That's a bunch. And you have to clean them?
What I tell the people, they say, what I need to bring with me? I say, just bring an ice box to carry your fish home.
200 fish, you'd be there all day.
We've got a guy that'll clean them for him. He charges, I forget what he charges, but I try not to do it. I mean, I give 100% when I'm out there.
Right.
When I come in, a lot of times, some days we'll be to have a limit, you know, by noon. Some days you know, we might be out there to 3 or 4 o'clock, and as long as the people want to stay, I'll stay with them. I'll give them 100% while we're out there. When we come in, I'm done. I'm tired.
Right. Well, I don't blame you for not wanting to clean 200 fish, because that'd take a while. It'd be dark by the time you get done.
Yeah.
So we're talking a little bit about Pico Lures earlier, and you were talking about actually finding some.
I had a catastrophe here about 2 months ago. A tornado hit the house, hit a subdivision, got about 80% of the houses out. And when I was packing everything up to put in storage, they're building me a new house now. as I was going through my tackle room, I found some of these old pickle pops, and they did not go in the garage sale or get out of here box. They went into, you know, a box that I'll use. You know, I caught a lot of bass. I remember the first time I ever threw one was down at Lake Amstead.
Wow.
And the guy said, you ever throw one of these pico pops? I said, no. I said, well, they'll eat them things here. And I caught a lot of fish on it, some big fish on it.
Wow. Is that a good bait for Rayburn then?
Yes. Yeah. At times it, you know, when they're on top water stuff.
You think there's a certain color? Like, is there a color on Rayburn that they prefer?
I don't know. I threw black and silver. That was the only color I threw. So I would say that'd be the best color to throw.
It was the color I used. That's what I caught them on.
Yeah.
So that's
good. I don't really think color is important as a lot of people give it, especially on the topwater bait. I think if you throw it where he's at and got the right presentation, you should.
What do you think about color for lures for crappie? Like when you're jig fishing, don't crappie seem to be a lot more selective than bass?
You know, in the early in the year, we throw black and chartreuse, and then as it gets on up in the summer and they get out deeper, we throw something kind of a light white, clear, sparkly color. I don't know. It seems like they get off the black and chartreuse.
So they're going more to like a minnow.
Yeah.
Like shed,
I think that's
type
what
thing.
It is, yeah. But early in the year, I don't throw nothing but black and chartreuse.
Black and chartreuse.
When I quit biting it, I said, well, it's time to go out and get on the brush.
Well, that's a good way to do it. So your favorite memory of fishing, what would it be? Your very favorite memory?
Probably winning the tournament here on Sam Rayburn. That was the first big tournament I won. You know, I was blessed and did real good and had great sponsors, and but that kind of was the first major one I won, and it was it'll always be there to open the door for Brady Lyon, and they wrote a lot of stories about it, and that's probably my favorite one off.
Yeah, I remember that. So it was quite a deal. It just kept traveling all the way up into Arkansas, and back then, of course, we didn't have the internet, so the news kind of broke out probably in Bassmaster magazine. They probably had a big article on it. So if they wanted to get in touch with you, how would they get in touch with you to go either bass fishing or crappie fishing?
Probably the fastest, simplest way is on my cell phone. I've got it with me 24 hours a day. It's 936-328-0864.
All right.
If somebody's interested in a good crappie trip for them, their friends, or their family, hey, give me a call. We'll be happy to take you.
All right. Thanks, Randy. I appreciate you being on the show.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, welcome to this week's Tackle Time. Let's talk crappie fishing. Let's talk making them dudes bite. What do you need? You need something that looks like bait, feels like bait, and tastes like bait. We've got the Scent Ring Pointer Shad. These are a little bitty shad bait. Got the tail like a shad, soft as all get out, got rings all the way around them. Couple that with a little bit of your favorite scent. We naturally kind of prefer slab sauce around here.
Yep.
Because it sticks to your bait better. But the scent rings on this little pointer shad will hold your scent until you absolutely wear that bait out. Stays on long, soft bait, feels natural to the fish. You give it a try, it'll put more in the boat for you.
There you go. There you have it, man. We had Randy Dierman on. He won the 1993 Bassmaster Invitational on Sam Rayburn. And he talks a little bit about that. He talks about Pico Pop, and he also talks about crappie fishing. In fact, he talks a lot about crappie fishing because he's guiding for it now. And he's your man if you're going out crappie fishing. And that's it for this week's show. Hey, thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Please subscribe, rate our show. From Mitch and myself, keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.